for the Mussar tonight, I'd like to do something a little bit different and discuss a common question that the Talmidim ask. It's a good question, it's a valid question, and it requires a serious response. Why learn Bi'iyun? Why should we learn Gemara Bi'iyun? At the end of the day, Shas is so big, there's so much to cover, and after 2 years, how much? I have a tremendous nachas. I just walked in, I saw Rav Avi Weber was a Talmud of mine 8 years ago, and we learned Bava Metzia, the same Masechta. But how much did Rav Avi do? He even made a mistake. He even left the middle of the year. But how much did we cover together? We, Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet, he covered ground with the other great Rabbanim over here in Bikius. But why even spend so much time going through Daf Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and Bava Metzia? Of course, there is a problem in general. The yeshivas should be going faster. That's also an issue. Even in Iyun, we should be going faster. The reason I discuss it tonight is the month of Kislev might give us a window to the answer to that question. The struggle of Kislev, the struggle of Teves, is a struggle against the Greeks. The Lashon of Chazal and Maseches Soifrim, when the Torah was translated into Greek, Vahaya Oisa Yoim Kosha Yisrael Ki Yoim Shinasa Bo Egel. Shaloi Oisa Torah Yechola Li Sagim Kol Tzarcha. Something terrible happened in our struggle with Yavan, and that is that the Torah HaKadosha was translated into Greek. What's the problem with that? What's so terrible about the Torah being translated into another language? And what we're going to outline is, Be'ezer Hashem, is four important yesodos of learning Bi'iyun, and why it's critical for a bachur in his avodas Hashem. The moment something is translated, something so special, so unique, from the Lashon HaKodesh, is the moment in which that information becomes simply information. It's information. A person knows and imbibes that amount of information. Amelus Bateira is a totally different thing. Amelus Bateira is not about only acquiring information. Now, I'm not chas v'chalila precluding the importance of garnering a tremendous amount of yediyas in Taira. And I'm not talking about any derech halimut of iyun. Any derech halimut. But there's something about Amelus Bateira, the key in Amelus Bateira, which is a search for emes. You know, there's, I mentioned the Talmidim in the past, they say Bride Magazine did a survey, and they surveyed how many hours a bride spends preparing for her wedding. They say it's about 150 hours. And the groom spends about 150 hours saying it sounds good. If a person is not learning Ba'amelus, if a person is just reading and translating, then his relationship with his chavrusa and his relationship with the material in front of him is about, it sounds good. That's what the Chazal are referring to when Chazal said, She'enom yicholim li'targem kol tzarka. Yes, you could translate it, but the essence of searching for emes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's something that's going to be chas v'chalila entirely lost. And Rabosai, that point is critical in Avodas Hashem. It's critical in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's critical for the message that we are trying to give over from the Rosh Yeshiva to all the staff, to the Talmidim, and that is the message of a search for emes. A search for truth. In an age of relativism, where everything goes, where every opinion is valid, not every opinion is valid. There's a right pshat in Rashi, and there's a wrong pshat in Rashi. If there are two giants who say the pshat in Rashi, so then Shimon Panim Latayra, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. But it could be that I punctuated Rashi wrong. I just stopped with the boys. Avi, I owe you an apology. 8 years ago, I looked at my Gemara from 8 years ago. I punctuated wrong. It was wrong. It was partially wrong. There's a right pshat and there's a wrong pshat. And that whole essence of a search, an unburdened search for truth, that is what Amelus Patera and Amelus Pe'iyun is all about. Very interesting. There were a few times I saw my Rebbe, Rabbi Braunschweigel, cry. And one of the times I saw him cry was actually a repeat of what my 8th grade Rebbe said he saw when Rav Yitzchak Kurzner told the exact same story. Rav Yitzchak Kurzner by that time was entirely paralyzed. And he said he basically almost, none of his body worked. But he said, as he said this story, tears came down his eyes, down his face. Rav Braunschweigel described, he was a milashir, and he told us a story. The story's been written up since I heard it. And at the time, Rabbi Geldworth, my 8th grade Rebbe, who heard it from Rav Yitzchak Kurzner, he even gave us such details to the story that the story is MS, and we even know some things about this anonymous hero. There was a great Gaon, Rabbi Zalacharif. And Rabbi Zalacharif went to Volozhin. There are different versions what he was exactly looking for, but Rabbi Zalacharif had this agenda to find a very special boy. And he had a bomb kasha. He went into the Beis Medrash, and he asked the kasha. And a few boys came over. One boy who had a tremendous bikias gave a brilliant answer, putting together four gemaras. Rabbi Zalacharif said, no, not exactly. Another boy, tremendous charif, said to Rabbi Zalacharif, another teretz. Rabbi Zalacharif said, nah, it's not muchruch in the words. 3 or 4 days later, Rabbi Zalacharif got into his carriage to leave Volozhin. And then there was a boy who came out of the Beis Medrash. We know his name. His name was Rabbi Yosef Schlupper. You can't make that up. His name was Rabbi Yosef Schlupper. He later became a dayan. And Rabbi Yosef Schlupper came running out, and he said to Rabbi Eisler, in this tradition, they say he was actually looking for a shidduch for his daughter. Fargest von der shidduch, forget about the shidduch, of Rabbi Azoy kamst dir gein avek von Volozhin mit akasha on ateretz. But how could you leave Volozhin with a kasha without a teretz? And of course, as the fairy tale goes, Rav Eisler turns to the boy and says, this is the young man I'm looking for. Both when Rav Braunschweigel, Meir Refuah Shleima, and Rav Yitzchak Kurzner, both when they said those words, V'yazoy kemigein avek from Volozhin mit akasha on ateretz, they both started crying. You know why they started crying? Because that's the Messiah that Volozhin embodies. And that is that search. At the end of the day, every kasha, we have to do everything we can to find the teretz. There's a second bechina of iyun that bikius doesn't touch on. For most people, 99% of Talmidim. There are a few unique yechidim that it can, but for 99% of the population, it doesn't apply to. And that is when a person is stuck. When he's stuck with how to read Rashi, he's stuck with a stira in Rashi, he's stuck with a stira in Rambam. He doesn't understand what his Rebbe said in Shir, and he works on it, then there's something about this Amelus of MS that throws our whole being into Torah. In contrast to the fellow who's making a cheshbon when he's going to make the next siyum, it doesn't absorb him the way that Amelus Pe'iyun does. They say an amazing story about Rav Shach Zatzal. I mentioned to the Talmidim in the past. Rav Shach, when he was older, the doctor said he needs to get a certain amount of sleep. The lights have to be out. It's well known, the Rosh Yeshiva Shlita describes, that he remembers Rav Shach running into the Beis Medrash in his pajamas to look up a sefer. Rav Shach had this tremendous bren, this tremendous fire. And Rav Shach was instructed that he has to be in bed by 12 o'clock. He's just not getting enough sleep at night. So sure enough, the Rebbetzin tucked him in. The Rebbetzin tucked him in, made sure that Rav Shach was in bed. A couple nights later, he went to bed on time as instructed, but she woke up one night in the middle of the night, and there was Rav Shach learning by the dining room table. Okay. So she realized she's got to do something better. So she decides that she's going to turn off all the lights and the circuit breaker, that he can't turn on the lights at all. Next night, she wakes up, again, 2 in the morning, she turns over, Rav Shach's not in the bed. She begins to grope around the house. She can't find him. She calls one of the shamashim frantically, and sure enough, Rav Shach snuck out, then he went back to the Beis Midrash 2 in the morning. So next night, what she decides to do is she's going to lock the door, and she's going to turn off the circuit breaker. So, a couple nights, the taka works. A week later, she wakes up, Rav Shach is not in the bed. She goes to the door is locked. She goes to the circuit breaker, all the lights are off. She starts groping around the house, looking for her husband. She mounted in the dark. This is the Mesiris Nefesh. Every Rebbetzin who has a husband who's a Lomei Torah, there's a tremendous amount of Mesiris Nefesh. So she's looking all over for him. Finally, she finds him in the laundry room. In the laundry room, there is, on the top, there was the boiler. On the boiler, you guys know there's this LED light that says that the boiler is on. Rav Shach is on a chair with a sefer, leaning up against the light, reading from the... That's called one's whole being consumed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And there's only a melus be'iyun is what could accomplish that. There's a third maila. The third maila of Amelus Vatara is not only that it encompasses our entire being. It's not only a way in which we combat the relativism of this world, but there's something else. It teaches us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to think. A person who just memorizes what the Teirach Deisha says, what the Mishnayos say, what the Gemaras say, they never really internalize the process of thinking of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to think. Now let's think about that for a moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us every part of how to sanctify our body. From the moment we wake up, how to wash our hands, how to tie our shoes, everything. And all of a sudden, when it comes to thinking, people don't realize the dearest thing that we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gives us an instruction manual. But what do? They're Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. They're observant. But the dearest thing that God has given us, their brain, that they don't use the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to use. And if a person is just assimilating information again, Chas v'chalila, that part could be entirely lost. Reb Chaim of Brisk really, really internalize this. Reb Chaim's koach hachashiva, Reb Chaim's strength of thinking, was a thinking that had a tremendous intuition that was in consonance with the thinking of the Tanoim and the Amoraim. Just an amusing story, fascinating story about Reb Chaim. They say Reb Chaim's power of thinking was so powerful that he could look out the window, his deductive powers, that he could look out a window and he would look at people walking down the street and he would turn to his sons, he was very close with his sons, and he would turn to his sons and say, this guy, he's late for Shacharis. This guy is running to say a shir. This guy missed his bus. And sure enough, they would go outside and sure enough, Reb Chaim, somehow, his way of reading the situation was always on mark. One time, Reb Chaim looked out the window and the sons see that he's pacing back and forth. He's disturbed. So Mistam is Revelvel. Revelvel asks him, Father, what are you bothered by? He says, I can't figure out what this guy is doing. That's what Rav Chaim said. So Revelvel ran outside and he grabbed the guy and he said, you know, where are you going? What are you doing? He says, I don't know, I'm lost. Nice to show you, that's what they say in Brisk. Leaving aside the story, the Yisoid HaDavar, is that there's a heavenly way of thinking. And that heavenly way of thinking is something that we internalize in Amelus Betorah Be'iyun. But Rabosai, those are not the most important reasons. As important as every single one of those are, there's a fourth. And I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit later than usual. I'll ask Mechila. But this is so, so, so important. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chav Beis says that when we learn, there's a requirement to learn Be'ema Bereses Ubezeya. That we have to learn the Torah trembling, and here's the Lashon of Chazal, Kinesinasa B'Sinai. As if it was given Har Sinai, which means that the Bachur that's sitting right now in front of Meseches Bava Metziah, he is receiving Torah just like Maimon Har Sinai. Nothing more and nothing less. Mamish Maimon Har Sinai. And there are halachos. There are halachos that come out from that, that require a person to learn as if he's receiving Torah, Me'akadosh Baruch Hu, Al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu B'Sinai. And that means that if Chas V'Chalila, a person is Mezalzel, denigrates that phenomenon of Kisnelsa Misinai, he's rejecting Maimon Har Sinai. And the reason why Amelus B'Torah is so critical is because Amelus B'Torah creates that sense of Kinesinasa B'Sinai. It creates that sense of the phenomenon that a person is searching for the MS as we described in reason number one, and I'm now being Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And that's, if you look at our tefillos about Torah, that's what they're all about. Asher bachar bonu mikol ha'amim, v'nosan lanu. Why is that so important? Why is that the most critical part of Talmud Torah? Because of the Musar Shabbo, which we'll talk about in a moment, but also because that is the most central tenet of our Emunah. And that is that you and I, in our smallness, are a continuation of Maimid Har Sinai. Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik, when he learned, he described that when he opened the Rambam used to come and sit next to him, and the Ravid would be on the other side. When we learn, they pop up. Ravina, Ravashi pop up. Rashi and Tesis. If they're popping up and they're arguing next to us, you have to search for the MS. It can't be something where you're just processing information. And that's a tremendous musar. Because chas v'chalila, you could have somebody who could believe in all of the above three things. But if they don't internalize the Ema Bereses Ubezeya Kinesinaso B'Sinai, then chas v'chalila, they could be kofar in the essence of what Talmud Torah is all about. Many of you, after yeshiva, are going to be going on to a dual curriculum. And the moment that there is a dual curriculum, the moment that college is in the picture, then chas v'chalila, Torah could become another discipline. And that becomes a kfira in Maimon Har Sinai. I say it again. It becomes a kfira in Maimon Har Sinai. I'll never forget that there was a fellow in an advanced shir in the yeshiva that I am forever indebted to, that made me, in many ways, who I am today. Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, Yeshiva University. It's not the only yeshiva that was tremendously mashpi'an, but the yeshiva I spent the most time in. And there was a fellow studying for an advanced shir. I remember, I didn't even understand. He was quoting an Or Zeruah. I thought Or Zeruah from Tar V'Das. Or Zeruah you sing when the Rosh Yeshiva comes in. Or Zeruah La Tzadik. I'd never heard of an Or Zeruah. Rashi, Taisis, Rambam. That's what I heard of. Or Zeruah, I didn't even hear. He's quoting an Or Zeruah, sitting in front of a television, studying for a Gemara exam. In front of a television, watching shears with his legs up. A good boy. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, that component of Maimed Har Sinai wasn't something that was internalized. Iyun, he understood, was important. But that sense of Be'ema, Bereses, Ubezeya was unfortunately compromised. Rabbi Braunschweigel used to say to us, he used to look at us and he would say, I can't understand how you could drink Coca-Cola when you're learning Torah. My Rebbe was a child survivor of the Holocaust. To him, the idea of Coca-Cola was the expression of American materialism. And to him, how could it possibly be that a Coke and a Gemara go together? That Musser probably didn't apply to us, certainly doesn't apply to you. You could drink a Coke, it's there to keep you up. Matov manoyim. But the message is a very, very powerful message. In fact, someone told me that there was a Hasidish Rebbe just a few years ago that went over to a Talmud and he was learning a Ktsois HaChoish and Reb Chaim. And he said to him, Azoi learnt min Aktsois mit Akola? So that's how you learn a Ktsois with Akola? So the sharp Talmud said back to him, Nein Rebbe, me drink da Kola mit Aktsois. That's how you're supposed to drink a Kola with a Ktsois. And that's our door. That's an appropriate Teretz. That's an appropriate Teretz. But it ends there. It ends there. That sense of where Be'ema, Beresas, Ubezeya, Maimon Har Sinai. So Rabosai, I mevakesh from you. In these few months, so this winter's man, I ask you please begin to be Omel Be'iyun, to search for Emes in your learning. And it's going to do four things to you, Be'ezer Hashem. Let's review what those four things are. Number one, it's going to begin to train us to look for MS. Look for MS in our lives. Number two is there's nothing like Amelus B'Torah B'Iyun that throws a person's whole being into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Number three is it transforms your way of thinking. It transforms your way of thinking the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to think. And Shalol Lishma gives you the power of Reb Chaim as well. And finally, the last koach is the most important koach. And that's the koach of Maimed Har Sinai, Be'ema Bereses Ubezeya. And Chas V'Chalila, if we don't live that Be'ema Bereses Ubezeya, then it's a Kfira Maimed Har Sinai. And yes, our yeshiva that believes in living in the real world, for us it's a bigger challenge. Because there are other disciplines. And Chas V'Chalila, Torah could become another discipline. But if we begin now, here, in the holy city of Yerushalayim, to really, really internalize that Iyun is a Maimed Har Sinai, then we have a fighting chance when we go out to the real world. To Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to Mekadesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah.